Thank you very much, Jeannie and Marilyn and all of you for your welcome and the joy of being here on our table. We had to say who was here for the first time, and I was the only one who put up my hand. So I'm new here, but it's lovely to be here. This is actually my third visit in the States. I came in, I think it was 90 or 91, with the children and with Mike. And we had various conferences and went to Disney World and had a lovely time. And then I came back in July, just after we had moved from Kenya, and had a week. The IET had a meeting with the wives, and that was a privilege and joy as well. But Mary asked me to share something about the things I've been learning in my own life in this time of transition and change. And it hasn't all been easy, I must say. I think, you know, being uprooted and changes really reveal things often in our lives that the Lord wants to do and to teach us. But we left on June the 24th from Kenya. After being there 16 years, we had such a very happy time, very fruitful years, a time where we had the privilege of seeing God at work very much. Just seeing him work in the lives of many of our African staff, raising, coming to godly leadership, and then taking over the work in different countries. We had the joy of also seeing many missionaries from African countries go across the continent. There's one couple from Nigeria who are leading our work in Zambia. And I think that was a real thrill to Mike and I to see this missionaries from Africa going across to different parts of Africa. And that's quite tough. When we arrived, people see we're different, and I think they make more allowances for us. But I think it's harder when you go and you look like you should fit in and you actually don't in that way. And God has, you know, influenced many, many across the continent by his love as the work has multiplied. But also years in which we have experienced as a family much blessing in our own lives and in our family. I think that I remember when we went, Mike's mother was a bit fearful about our going. And she said, it's all very well for you two to go, but should you be taking the children at this age? You know, Ruth was 8 and David was 5 and Anna was only 2. And, you know, we thought a lot about that. And the thing we came to was that if it was right for Mike, then it was right for me, then it must be right for the children. And we should all stick together and go together. But God has blessed us as a family. I think all our three children, Ruth, David, and Anna, all feel it's been a tremendous privilege to grow up there in Africa. The values and have been very special. You know, Christmas is so simple. You don't think about it till the night before. And it doesn't have to do with gifts so much as going and seeing your friends' parents where they live. You know, many, many values that I think are very precious and that we hope we can keep even in the changes that we're going into. I think, too, the impact for our children in many godly people coming into our home. Both Africans, because we were in Nairobi and many people were passing through, but also some of you who've stayed with us. And our children feel that that has made a big impact on them. The godliness of people that we've been involved with. Anna, our youngest, was at a church service where Mutua Mayini, he's taken over the job. He's on the board. You'll see an African face as you go through Mutua. He was preaching at our 8:30 youth service. And whenever Mutua was preaching, the children always wanted to go to that service. We have 3 morning services at our church. And he was sharing about the importance of God's word. And he challenged all of us to read through the New Testament. And Anna was quite young, but she persevered from that and read right through the New Testament. And you know, Mutua and others have had such an influence on our children. So we thank God for the privilege of those years there. But moving to Nairobi wasn't our first involvement in Africa. That was 16 years ago that we moved in 82. I was born in Uganda. My parents went out single and met out there, and all four of us children were born out there. And I thank God for that opportunity. I felt very proud growing up and knowing that I was born in Uganda, sort of perhaps a status symbol. We used to have many Africans. We returned. My parents were out there for about 15 years, and we returned after the war. They had had to be out there for 6 years without coming back during the war years. And we had come back because of my mother's ill health. She had malaria and blood poisoning, and was encouraged to move back. But even when we moved to Oxford, where my father was a minister, we still had many Africans in our home, and that influenced my life a lot. So when I met Mike and found that he also was just wanting to serve God wherever the Lord led him, that was a real encouragement, and the Lord led us on into Africa. So it's been hard. It's been very hard leaving after all those years, and I was out there in 71, just before I got married. I was out in Uganda teaching and helping in a hospital that my uncle was superintendent of. And it's been hard to leave. I think there's many different emotions and conflicts that come with leaving. You know, almost like a sort of bereavement of some sort. I mean, there are times when I was leaving and back in England, times when I'd be praying for my friends and I'd just burst into tears. I'd miss them so much. And other times where I was enjoying England and the beauty. We had a wonderful autumn, you call it fall. a wonderful fall in England. And I had times where I would go all day just thinking, this is so beautiful, because I hadn't been in England for 16 years in the autumn or the Christmas. And then I'd feel so guilty because I hadn't been thinking about the people we'd left behind. So there's often a mixture of conflicting feelings there. But what has helped us to leave? I think that one of the things has been a supernatural gift of God in his peace, in the rightness of the timing of leaving Kenya and leaving our work in that we were involved with in Africa. Confidence that this was the right time. We had completed the work that God had sent us to do, and I think that that's a wonderful sense when you can hand on to others, even though that's hard. That's what we had gone to do. And I think that it dovetailed with our youngest going to university. So she came back with us in June and started at Cambridge doing education. And it's a joy to be back with her. We weren't back with the other two. And so it's an extra blessing to be back with her during this time of adjustment, because she was only two, so she feels African, but she looks white. So that's hard for her. I think, too, the promises of God have helped us in leaving. Two promises particular in Isaiah 52 and verse 12. It says this, "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard." That's wonderful, the sense that God does go before us, but he also goes behind us. And I think for me, understanding and believing that in my life, and, you know, coming to the Lord with the things that are ahead, but also coming to him with the things that are behind and trusting him for those, was special. And then Isaiah 55 and verse 12. "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace." And that's a real promise for each one of us, isn't it? That he wants to lead us out with joy. And sometimes when we go from sort of what's become our comfort zone, it's hard to have that sense of joy and anticipation in the leaving. I think, too, another aspect that helped us in leaving was which I've alluded to a little bit, was the confidence in the men and women that we've left behind. You know, when you leave something, you want it to be in good hands, as it were, and you know that ultimately the Lord's hands are the ones where it's the safest and the right. But we know that the people that we've left there really have confidence in the Lord, and it's been a joy to just know that they are there. I think, too, another thing that has helped us has been the clarity of the role that we're coming into. For Mike coming into the IET, you know, we have valued the people involved in the IET. We have valued them so much while we've been in Africa. Their love, their support, their visits, their help, their helping us to hold on to the Lord and to press on. And I think that it's going to be a privilege to be involved with such a dear group of people. And what is helping us now in this time of transition now? We're in England and we're here for the next few months before we move here, probably August or whenever things come together. Well, we were waiting to go to Nigeria back in 76. It was when David was born, 75. We were planning to go to Nigeria then. And there was a coup, and we were hindered in all sorts of ways from going there. And there was one week when we had everything packed up. For 9 months, we were living temporarily. And we were living next door to my mother. And it was a difficult time, and I think a time when we sort of felt we should be in Nigeria. People would ask us every Sunday, have you got your visa for Nigeria? So you'd come back from church feeling a failure because you hadn't got it. But there was one week when the Lord gave us four times the same passage. We read it together, we heard it in a sermon, and it really changed our attitude at that time, and it's been a help to us now in this one. It's from 1 Corinthians 3. Let me read for you. 1 Corinthians 3, and it's verse 21 and 23. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. And we had been, I think, feeling that we were waiting for the future. There was a tension between living where we were and yet feeling we were meant to be for the future. And here, these people here, there was some problems. You know, do I belong to Cephas? Do I belong to Paul? Where do I belong? But they belong to Christ, and we belong to Christ. And I think it came out clearly to us that we don't belong in Nigeria. You know, we don't belong to the navigators. We belong to Christ. And that the present is a future, is a gift. It says here, all these things are yours, the present or the future. And we realized that at that time, back in 70, before going to Africa, we were not really embracing the present as a gift from him. And it changed us and helped us to say, Lord, you know, this is the present. Don't let us miss out the lessons that you have for us here that we can learn. And the same thing has been coming to me now in moving, because when we moved back, I was very tired. I felt sort of really, I enjoy people, but I was finding people would invite me from church to a meal and I'd say, no, not yet, you know. I felt like this towards people, except the one or two who there was that closeness. And when we came to America, even 2 weeks after we arrived in England, we came here. It was a special time, but I think maybe I also was thinking, oh, I've got to move to America today. And I was trying to take on the future before I had embraced the present. And I realized, you know, I wasn't ready to do that. I needed to backtrack and I need to settle in England, and I need to enjoy the present that God was giving us and not let the future or the past steal from the present where I was. So at the moment, we're enjoying being in England. It's a joy to be near our three children and to have their friends popping in and out and staying for a night and kipping on the floor. But it's a joy to be with my mother. She's going to be 90 in July. And I think she told my sister that she didn't think she would be alive when I got back. And I'm trying to see her most weeks. And it's a joy to be with sisters and other friends and our church. We've got a very supportive church where Peter and Diana are in the same church with us, and they've been behind us. And it's a joy being there and to enjoy the time. So pray that we, continue to see the present as a gift and don't let the future or the past steal from this time. But also, we've experienced God's grace in giving back as we reach out to give to others. I think it was right in August to retreat a bit. We needed that retreating. But then in September, we had a church weekend in the north of England planned. It was a church that supports the missionaries in Africa, and they'd asked us to take a church weekend. And then the Korea work had asked us both to go to Korea to speak at their staff conference and join in with them. And Mike and I said to ourselves, we said, we must have been crazy to accept these things a year ago. We just felt this is, we're not ready for it. We were just feeling so like we couldn't do it. But we were committed and we prayed. I remember going up to the north of England for this conference. All the way on the motorway, we either moaned or we prayed. I think we moaned more than we prayed. But do you know that God really gave back to us? God gave back to us both in that conference and also in Korea, because he showed us that as we give, he gives back to us. And that lovely passage in Proverbs, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And we saw how God gives grace when we need it. I'm one of these people, I know that lesson, but I still want the grace in advance. I want to know that I'm going to feel able to manage before I get into the situation. And this was a lesson of, Chris, God will give you grace when you need it. And he can enlarge your hearts, because we were thinking, we have so many relationships in Africa and now in England. How can we take on loving people in Korea or anywhere else for that matter? And I think we were limiting God, because God wants to say, I can enlarge your hearts. I can stretch you. So I think far from those two situations being ones which drained us, they actually gave us greater confidence in the Lord. So experiencing God's grace giving back to us. So in what is helping us now in facing coming to Colorado, I think that it is a beautiful place. It's so gorgeous. Nearly as good as Kenya. So certainly, that God's creation is so beautiful. But for me, I found there was a real stage of surrender in my own life. The main stage was 2 years ago. Jerry and Mary had come for a conference in Kenya, and I think we'd been asked to consider moving here and joining the team a little while before that, maybe a month or two, I can't remember. But I thought, this is the furthest thing from my mind. It just seemed so foreign, the whole idea of Africa and then to America. Sort of, what could God have been teaching me in Africa that would pertain to things here? Because the culture and everything is very, very different. But Jerry shared at the end of our conference very briefly on Mary in Luke 1:38, where the angel comes to her, and the angel, and she just says these words. She says, "But be it unto me according to your word." Do you remember that? Let me just turn Luke 1:38. Yes, she says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. you know, no reassurance or anything. And what challenged me was, Jerry shared that there was five areas of surrender in her life. She surrendered to the Word of God. She surrendered to the will of God. She surrendered to the sovereignty of God. And she surrendered to God for an uncertain future. You know, we tend to want to have everything clear and planned, but she didn't know what was ahead of her. And then she surrendered her fears to the Lord. And it touched me so much. I just broke down and it was such a time of, you know, the Lord speaking to me and saying, Chris, can't you let go of your life? Can't you trust me as you surrender? I'll lead you. I'll look after you. And I think that was a very necessary and important sort of milestone in my own Christian life, in coming to just give him whatever plans he has ahead. Now, obviously, there's the daily surrender, just daily giving things back to him. And we've sensed the Lord this year as we've been praying, we've sensed the Lord urging us on about the rightness of moving here. We decided we would just wait and not talk about it a lot, but just pray. And then after Christmas, we would think about it more fully. And we had, on the 29th of December, my birthday, we had a lot of visitors. My mother came for Christmas, and Mike's parents and my twin sister and all our three children. So they were kipping here and sleeping on the floor because we have a small home. But we had the day on the 29th, just family. And we took the time with our three children to pray and to ask God to show us what he had been teaching us in the last year, and what we wanted him to do in our lives as we looked ahead. And then we prayed together. And then after that, we took some time to talk about the whole thing of us moving here. And I think they must have been talking together, the three children, because one of them was a spokesman. And they said, you know, Mum and Dad, it really helps us when it helps us in our walk with the Lord when you are willing to take steps of faith in your life. And we just want to urge you that if God is in this, we don't want you to shrink back. And I felt so challenged, because I think there are times when I shrink back and I feel it in different ways from the challenge of, you know, of moving on. There's something about wanting to settle and get roots down, and we've been abroad and can't we stay here now? You know, that kind of feeling. But just that the Lord wants us to be on an ever ongoing pilgrimage with him. He wants us to move forward. Now, that doesn't always mean moving forward in changing countries, but to move forward in trusting him and in stepping out by faith. I can remember when I was praying over Mike, and I had lived briefly with Doug and Leela Sparks before she died, and when they had a very busy summer, they asked me between jobs to come and live with them and help with their four children. And I can remember having some fears at that time about stepping out in marriage and their relationship. I think Doug had just written out of the blue to Leela and said, will you marry me? And I thought that must be the most spiritual way to do it, and that I should just know when it was right to get married. But I realized for me, the Lord said something different, because the Lord said, you know, from Proverbs 4 in one of the free translations, it says, as thou goest, thy way shall be opened up step by step. And I think of the people when they crossed the Red Sea, you know, it's easy to think that's amazing and they crossed it. But what gets me is the fact that when it says that as they went, it was opened before them. So as they started, across the other side was still sea. And I think with my temperament, I would find that very, very hard, because I like to see across the other side, and it's hard to sometimes step forward with him and trust him that if we're out of the center of God's will, he will close doors and he can intervene in his own way, but we can move forward with him. So helping us move to Colorado, the surrender to God, the support of family, our immediate family, even my brother and wider family have been very generous in their giving spirit. And, you know, because it's not easy. They've been supporting. My sister is the only one, and Mike's parents are 83 and 84. I'm the youngest of four, and all my brothers and sisters love the Lord, so I have a supportive family. But still, you don't want to abuse the love of relatives in their open-handedness with us. And then I think the affirmation and support of the team we're coming to. We've really sensed a lot of affirmation and support from Jerry and Mary and the team here. And then another thing that helps us is just the faithfulness of God. You know, God is so faithful, isn't he, to each one of us. He promises to go with us. He promises to hold our hand and to just reassure us and to lead us in the way that we will profit. You know, he promises that. Before we went to Africa, someone pointed out to me in Psalm 18, so I'll just end on this, Psalm 18 and verses 29 and 30. Psalm 18 and verse 29 and 30. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless, and he is a shield for all who take refuge in him. And I like that. It says, with my God, I can scale a wall. And you know, sometimes it's easier to have a hedge because you can peep through it and see what's the other side. But here it says, by my God, I can scale a wall. And that takes sort of perhaps more of a step back and a leap in the darkness. And they said to me, when they put this on my card going to Africa, they said, adventures with God in control are not to be dreaded. So I just share that with you, and I'd appreciate your prayer for us in the changes, that the Lord would be the stability of our times and that he would just lead us forth and help us to make the adjustments. Bless you.